Hey, welcome to the Lifehouse podcast. We're so glad you're with us. We hope you enjoy this message.
Yes, one encounter with Jesus can change your life. Come on, you need to get more excited than that. Come on. One encounter. And what a story this one is that we find in John chapter 4. You see, the Samaritan woman went to the well with having no idea what was going to happen. She only went there because she wanted to be alone. She wanted to escape. She didn't want anyone else to judge her. So instead of going in the morning, she decided to go at noon, where she was sure that no one was there. And yet, Jesus was there waiting for her. And I'm here to tell you that today Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is here for you. Maybe you are escaping a certain situation. Maybe you want to be alone. Maybe you don't know what else to do. And Jesus is saying, I'm here for you today. I want to meet you. And later on, I'm going to open up this altar and I'm going to ask you this question. Do you want to meet Jesus today? Whatever your need might be, whatever the situation looks like, know that Jesus can change it. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, the first thing I want to do as I unpack this message, it's to simply look at Jesus. And then we will be focusing on the Samaritan woman. And we're going to try to unpack all the things that Jesus wants to tell us today. And then we're going to look at all the things that we can learn from the Samaritan woman. Amen? Are you with me? I can't hear the back row. Are you with me? That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, when we look at Jesus, He does a few things that actually gives us food for thought. Are you ready? The first thing Jesus does, He meets the wowoman at the well in Sychar, in Samaria. Now, maybe some of you that I may not familiar with, but Samaria was enemy territory for the Jews. So they would try everything they could to not actually go to Samaria, because it was dangerous for a Jew to actually go to Samaria, because the Samaritan didn't like the Jews and the Jews didn't like the Samaritans, and so no one would actually would want to go into enemy territory. But the first thing that Jesus does to meet the woman, He goes into the enemy territory. And I can tell you, and I'm here to remind you, that Jesus has conquered the enemy territory. Jesus has died on that cross so that you and I can conquer the enemy territory. He didn't stop and say, oh no, I'm not going to go to Samaria. It's enemy territory. I'm fearing for my life. He went there. Why? Because He knew that He needed to go and save the Samaritan woman. And what does that teach us, church? When was the last time that we went into enemy territory for somebody else? When was the last time that we entered spiritually in prayer, in fasting, to intercede for somebody else in the enemy territory? When we are interceding and fighting for somebody else? When was the last time that you and I went out physically into places where we know maybe it's not good to go there? Maybe there is a family feud going on, or maybe there are situations. But let me tell you that you carry the truth. You carry life. And when you enter into enemy territory, you can change it. Because greater is the one who is in you than the one that is against you. And I'm not hearing any amens. You know, Jesus starts the conversation with the woman in the intimacy of that place. You know, sometimes Jesus is going to come to you and pull you out of your busy life. Maybe sometimes He's going to create a space where He can talk to you one-on-one. And you know what I have found in Christian life sometimes? That we are so busy running around, left, right, center. I need to do this, and I'm busy in church. I am busy at home. I am busy at work. And Jesus is going, when are you going to stop? I need to talk to you. And you know what happens? Jesus is going to create that moment. And you know, for me, it was a near-death experience over 12 months ago. All of a sudden, I had nowhere else to go. And then Jesus said, so, finally, are you willing to listen now? Don't let Him do that to you. Just listen beforehand. Just open up your radars and go, all right, Jesus, I'm here today. Talk to me. You see, Jesus goes all the way into the enemy territory to find the moment to speak to this woman, to reveal to her that He is the Messiah and that He can change her life. You see, when Jesus meets her, He does not shame her. He does not condemn her either. And you know what I am seeing more and more on internet, on podcasts? How sometimes Christians themselves, they shame other ones because of what they have done. I don't want to be part of that. I want to bring truth and grace. I don't want to shame them, and neither want I condemn them. You know, when the Bible says love one another, that's exactly what it means. Love one another. And I'm here to encourage you. Let's just be more like Jesus in 2024. And everybody said, you see, sometimes we forget that we need to reflect Jesus. Not our own opinions, not our own experiences either, but we need to reflect Jesus, the Messiah. He didn't condemn her, even though He knew exactly where she was coming from and what she had done. Instead, Jesus tells her the truth with grace. And that is what got her attention. It's not the condemning part that got her attention. And I believe if there would have been a condemnation on that day, she would have run. Instead, Jesus captured her with what? With truth and grace. He told her the truth, but He gave her the solution with the truth and grace. That He was the Messiah and that He had living water. And that at the moment that she would drink that water, she would never be thirsty again. And I wonder, when was the last time that you and I have drunken from that water? Or is it just sitting there? And maybe getting warm, and you know how it is when you open one of those bottles. But how good it is when it is a fresh water. You know, the Bible says that when we drink that water, a source of water will start to bubble out on the inside of us. Amen? You know, why did Jesus propose to her water? If you are thirsty, you cannot give to others what you don't have. So that's why Jesus gave her first that living water. And today my desire is that as we leave this place, we have all drunken once again from that living water. So that we can feel full. So that we don't thirst anymore. So that we will be able to go out and bring it to others. Because you will not be able to give to others what you don't have yourself. Jesus can offer more than what you think, church. Sometimes we have all our preconceptions. We have all our religious plans. And maybe sometime even our religious thinking. But let me tell you that Jesus can do so much more than all of that. And I don't know where you are at. I don't know your situation. But one thing I do know, that nothing is impossible for the Messiah. Nothing is impossible for the Jesus that we have seen on screen. I think he has been the best looking Jesus I have seen in some of this series. And one day we will see him face to face. And then Jesus does one more thing, which is my favorite thing. Jesus breaks religious barriers. Come on, yeah, you should clap. Jesus breaks religious barriers. You see, she starts off and talking all about the Temple Mount and about what was the best worshiping place. The Samaritans thought it was their temple that they had built in Samaria, and the Jews thought, oh, it's the best one, it's Jerusalem, it's that temple. But Jesus actually doesn't care, because Jesus tells her, it's not about the temple, it's not about where you worship, it's about whom you worship and how you worship. It's your heart, it's your attitude. You can go and worship everywhere. But there needs one place where you need to be at home. That's why we have churches. But more than a home, it's how you worship and whom you worship. What attitude do you have towards the one that you worship? And so it's not about how much Bible you know. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be always the best one in kids' church. And somehow I used to wing that every now and then. And then one day, or one particular year, I was way above the average that we had in kids' church. So back then, I'm talking in the 90s, we used to have a point system. If you would behave well, you would get X amount of points. If you would learn your Bible verse, you would get another amount of points. If you would help somebody, anyway, I would be always on my best behavior to get the maximum of the points. And so on that year, I knew that I was way above the second place. And I was teasing the guy and thinking, hey, you will never get me. I will be the first one this year. And I was going to doing the happy dance and the happy clap. And then it was the last Sunday of the year. And I thought, man, Armando, it is in your pocket. No one can. And I believe back then it was 50 points that I had over the second one. And it was the last Sunday, and you would never be able to get 50 points in one service or in one kids' church meeting. So I thought, yeah, it's in your pocket. And so there I was, you know, and I was happy. I was ready to receive my gift at the end. And then for some reason I took and started to be naughty. I started pushing people around. I had chewing gum in my mouth and all sorts. And right at the end, one of the leaders came and said, well, that's enough, Armando. Today you will get minus 60 points. And death came upon me. I thought, oh, what? I lost it. And I was crying and I was begging him, no, I will do whatever. I will wash your car. I will bring anything. I will behave from now on. He said, no, 60 points. And I got home devastated. Devastated. But you know what that lesson taught me? It's not about religion. It's not about how well you behave. It's not about what you think that you can do for Jesus. But it's all about your attitudes of worship and the one that you do worship. You see, sometimes we can be bogged down in all sorts of things. Religion will not save you. Let me say it again. Religion will not save you. What will save you is Jesus and the faith that you have in him by accepting his sacrifice and living the life that you need. Believing, it's the first point. And that's exactly what the woman did. She believed that he was the Messiah. She believed that he could change her life. She believed and saw that Jesus did not condemn her. She believed and saw that Jesus did not do all the things that everybody else has done. So the question that I have for me and for you today is, what are people seeing in you? What are people seeing in you? The same behavior as everybody else? Or the behavior that she saw in Jesus? And everybody said, gotten a bit quieter now. But let's quickly go to the Samaritan woman. What are the things that we can actually learn from her? So now our focus shifts from Jesus to us. Because the Samaritan woman represents us, represents humanity, represents humankind. And when you look at her story, when you look at what we have just seen on the screen and what we know from John chapter 4, I think that there are so many similarities in her life that we can actually see in our own ones. And you might say, no, that's not true. I didn't have 5 husbands. I had 10. Or you might say, oh no, I don't feel ashamed. Have you really never felt ashamed about anything? You see, the Samaritan woman is one of the most significant stories in the Bible that shows the humanity, that shows the behavior of humankind. That's why it's only mentioned once. Because that story is so impactful that it doesn't need to be accounted by all the other Gospels. It's actually only John. And for a while I thought, why was John the only one? I believe because it is only John who is called the Apostle of Love. And he wanted to reflect that love in that writing. That he represents God as being love. Where the others, they represent Jesus in a different way. But it's interesting to see that that account of her story is only found in John chapter 4. Or in the Gospel of John. But let's have a look at the Samaritan woman. You know what? The first thing that I noticed with the Samaritan woman is, ready? She has no name. She has no identity. And I went to look up from where she came from and what was the thing, and I read 50,000 commentaries. Zero. All we know is that she was from Samaria and that she had had 5 husbands. And I'm thinking, that's interesting. No name. And you know what is even more interesting is that the Samaritan woman, she felt exactly the same. She felt that she was nobody. Because when she came there, she wanted to escape. She had no name. Maybe too many people knew what she had done but didn't know her. And how many times do people actually want to know what you do other than who you are? Come on, somebody. How many times do we look at what people do other than who they are? And this woman had no name, only known as the Samaritan woman. And maybe she felt abandoned. Maybe she felt that somebody, nobody would know her. Maybe she felt ashamed. And yet, the Messiah tells her that he knew her. And that he did not condemn her. And let me tell you, church, that the Messiah knows you as well. The Messiah knows you as well. And the Messiah is not looking at where you came from or what you have done, but the Messiah is looking at who you are. Because that's what's valuable to him, who you are. Come on, somebody. How many times the society teaches us, oh, what you do, only if you perform, you will be the best. Only if you do certain things, people will recognize you. Only if you do this and if you do that, or if you have that amount of money or not. That's not what God does. Because He's more interested in who you are than what you do. Come on, somebody. Well, now I feel in preaching mode. Because now you're helping me, you're clapping, you're there. You see, the Samaritan woman escaped the village to go because no one wanted to go with her. because she felt ashamed because of her situation. She had lost her purpose and her identity. And on that day, it's the exact two things that God gave her back. Her identity and her purpose in life. And let me tell you that today, church, this is exactly what Jesus wants to do with you. If you don't have an identity and purpose, Jesus is here to give you an identity, a new identity in Christ, a new purpose in life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it clearly. Anyone, and I love the contemporary English version, because any other version, it's too difficult for me because English is my second language, or maybe third and fourth, should I say. So I like the easy reading. The contemporary English version says this: anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. And by this point, you should be clapping. You remember when Jesus saved you? You see, sometimes we make salvation an experience of the past. But can I encourage you that salvation should always remain an experience of the present? Because we should act accordingly to that salvation day all throughout our lives. And everybody said, quickly, the Samaritan woman felt rejected. You know, she had had five previous husbands. Her relational history wasn't that great. And maybe she even felt guilty. Ever felt guilty about a broken relationship? Well, Jesus is here to tell you that you don't need to be ashamed. That you are not rejected. Because He will take you how you are. Do you see how much we might have in common with her? Rejection, lack of forgiveness, felt condemned, lack of identity, lack of purpose. She was running away from her situation. How many times can we maybe relate to each point? Maybe only once, maybe twice. Let me tell you that the Samaritan woman is not that far off from what humankind is today. And that's why today we still need the Messiah. Amen? That's why today we still need the same Jesus as she encountered on that day. And let me tell you, church, that Jesus is actually here for you today to give you what you need and to transform your life. What was the effect of her encountering Jesus on that day? Well, let's just go and read John chapter 4 from verse 39 to 42. You ready? Yeah. It's up there, nearly. John chapter 4, verse 39 to verse 42. So we all know that she encounters Jesus, they talk, she gets transformed, and she runs back to the village. And that's what happens next. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did, she said. So when the Samaritan came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 more days. Let's just pause for a second. Do you realize the impact that that woman had on the whole village after she encountered Jesus? And when I was reading this, the Holy Spirit was telling me, what is the impact that you are producing when people meet you? And I thought, well, not the same as the Samaritan, but I can work towards it. And Jesus said, don't worry, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm just telling you, just be mindful. Think about the impact that you have with me when you meet people, when you are in the midst of crowds, even when you are in church. What is the impact? Well, her impact was that people run up to Jesus and said, hey, we need you to stay with us 2 more days. And he said, all right, let's do this. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. How cool is that? And for the Samaritan woman, it all seemed just like an ordinary day. And then she encounters Jesus, and everything changes. I'm here to tell you, church, that today you can encounter Jesus. I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants to meet you right here, right there, today. It only depends if you say, yes, Jesus. And no matter if you have been a believer for a long time or if you have maybe never really stepped into that faith walk, it doesn't really matter, because Jesus knows exactly who you are and where you are at. And he is not condemning you. And I feel like there are some people in this room that have always been feeling condemned by their friends, by their family, by their co-workers, because of a certain situation, because of a certain thing. But let me tell you, Jesus is loving you today and will always love you the way you are. All he wants for you to say, yes, Jesus, I want to walk with you. And if I can get the worship team up. You know, when we look at the Samaritan woman, we realize that she went to the well with all her burdens. Shame, guilt, rejection, condemnation, isolation. But look at what happened after she encountered Jesus. She had found hope and joy, acceptance and no condemnation. She felt forgiven and loved. No more shame. Now she was ready to tell the world. Now she was ready to tell the world. And you know what? I'm here to simply encourage you. Here comes the sun. You know, we're going to be singing a song in a moment as they all come up. Let's just, for a moment, enclose ourselves in our little bubble, in our world, and let's just Jesus start talking to us personally, just like he did with the Samaritan woman. You know, maybe you are here today and you came to church and everything seems like an ordinary day on the outside, and nobody else knows or feels what you feel, or nobody else knows what you are going through. Let me tell you that Jesus the Messiah does know. Jesus is waiting for you today, not tomorrow. He is here today, but he will also be there tomorrow for you. Today you can find redemption, hope, peace, joy, forgiveness, and so much more. You might have come in all sorts of ways or with all sorts of burdens and issues that nobody knows. But let me tell you that Jesus is here for you, just like he was there back then for the Samaritan woman. He wants to offer you the same water he offered to the Samaritan woman. That living water that represents a relationship with God, that satisfies the deepest longings of the human soul. This is the encounter that you have been waiting for. The encounter that will change your life forever. A personal relationship with Jesus is all that you need.
We hope this message inspired you. To find out more about us, head to our website, lifehouse.global.